The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God. Well, brethren, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7 and verse 38. Acts 7 verse 38, it says, "This he," who it's referring to as Moses, that was in the church in the wilderness with the angels which spoke to him on the Mount Sinai, and with the fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Verse 39, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him for them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods and go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. We can go back and look at the examples of ancient Israel. We can see that God delivered them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, by removing Israel from the hands of Pharaoh. Now, as Israel witnessed many miracles through the hands of God, and even through the miracles that God, by blessing them, by bringing them out of that land, Israel still rebelled, not putting their confidence and faith in God, but rather into making foreign idols, created by their own works of their hand. See, there are many lessons that we can learn about God and what he has done for his people, Israel, and how the sins of our forefathers affect us today. See, God's infinite wisdom and mercy took care of Israel, even when they committed sin, because God has such great love and mercy, and he has love for all humanity. God's love endures forever, and he continued to work with his people today, even when we rebel against him. See, God is always there for us, and he always knows what is best. He has placed in motion a plan that will be fulfilled, and nothing is going to stand or come against it. The question, brethren, that we need to ask ourselves is, what are we willing to sacrifice in our life to where we can be in constant and pleasing God? See, are we doing everything that we can do to serve God and to make our calling and election happy, that God will be happy with us and his people? See, God has delivered his people from sin, and what are we doing to make sure that we avoid all the pitfalls to where we do not want to go back into sin like our forefathers did when they desired to return to Egypt? In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it says that the heart is deceitful and above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, our heart can deceive ourselves. It can hide itself from within, and it can be our worst enemy. It's full of envy and evil devices, folly, abomination, and its owner knows not what he is capable of or what it's capable of until it boils over and manifests its true intentions. So what I'd like to do today is look at some of the examples how Israel reacted with God and see how their past can help us draw closer to God, following his way of life and his laws, to where we can live a better life serving God, and then in the future, looking forward to be God's very own sons. See, most of us all know the story, how God delivered Israel from Egypt, and how Pharaoh's heart was hardened to seek out and destroy the Israelites after Egypt was destroyed through the plagues. So let's pick up the story, if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to stay in this chapter for a little while. But let's read in Exodus 14, chapter 10, what happened to Israel after they left Egypt. Exodus 14 and verse 10, picking up in the story, it says, "And Pharaoh drew near, and the sons of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were very afraid, and the sons of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Now, if we think about this today in our life, do we find ourselves crying out to God because of the fear of what man can do to us? As we just read in this verse, Israel was scared of the Egyptian army because they had a lot of weapons. They had a lot of things that can hurt them. But the question is, where was their strength in God? He just delivered them from all of these miraculous miracles. So he delivered them through these miracles, but yet they were still afraid. So if we put ourselves in our shoes and we think about this, how would we react? As the children of Israel saw, like I said, the army, they were unarmed. They had no military training, and they thought they were going to be no match against the mighty army or the world's best army at that time. Would this be the same reaction we would have today in our life if we were faced in that kind of situation? See, we fight against Satan and his demons. And it's not really a physical one-on-one. It's a spiritual fight. It's different from what Israel had to face at that time. But in society and the way we live, there are issues that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So when things do not go our way, what do we do? What is our attitude? Do we become frustrated, having anger, screaming at one another? Well, in one sense, this is the same attitude Israel had. They vented out on Moses, and we can continue reading in verse 11 and 12. It says, "And they said to Moses, 'Have you taken us away to die in the wilderness because there were no graves in Egypt? Why have you dealt this way with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Did we not tell you this word in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." See, when Israel was confronted with this danger, they turned to Moses, or they turned against Moses, having the desire to go back into bondage because of the attitude they had, preferring to live in slavery than to take their chances with God. The Israelites also, they welcomed the message that Moses brought to them at first. But when the trials came upon them, what did they do? They caved in and allowed themselves to be taken over with fear. Well, do we allow this to happen in our life? See, God has delivered us out of bondage. May we never forget who is in control. A question we can ask is our weakness of the flesh allowing us to be impatient that we cannot wait for God's appointed time to be delivered in any situation? So we need to go to God and seek Him out regularly, so we may be strengthened by His Holy Spirit instead of seeking Him in prayer only when we are in fear of our life. As Israel argued with Moses for physically leading them out of the land of Egypt, how do you think God felt about their actions? I mean, they asked God for deliverance from being slaves to the Egyptians, and God answered their prayers. Once again, Israel became angry with God because they didn't like where they were going. They didn't like what they were receiving at the time. They became fearful, forgetting the miracles once again performed on the Egyptians. And God blessed them with the greatest gift of kindness that they may have ever received, having their bondage removed from their life and being set free. Isn't that what God has done for us? He's washed away our sins and brought us out of bondage. See, we as God's people today need to have the strength that Moses had, knowing God is the one that is in complete control and charge. As we continue reading in verse 13 and 14, it says, "And Moses said unto his people, 'Fear you not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" See, we need to have composure in our life when dealing with the issues of the world, having confidence in God to provide us comfort and peaceful thoughts, so we may endure all challenges that we may have, so we can see God's great salvation, that He is about to work for us in our time of need. See, if God allows His people to be backed into a corner, He is going to find a way to bring them out. As verse 15 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And brethren, that's exactly what we are supposed to do. Constantly move forward on our knees in continuous prayer, seeking out God and His righteousness. So let's look how God took care of His people Israel and see some similarities, how God dwelt with them in the past, how He deals with us today, spiritual Israel, so we can may see and receive the blessings that God has in store for us in the future. The first point I'd like to provide you with is God led physical Israel out of their bondage. Are we, brethren, allowing God complete control to deliver us out of ours? Let's jump up to verse 8 of Exodus 14. It says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand." They went out with great joy and boldness. Unfortunately, that boldness changed when they were at the Red Sea. They began to question and to have fear that God could not protect them from Pharaoh. See, when we first came into the truth, what did we do? We celebrated. Reading, studying, we did it diligently so we could learn more about God and His great way of life. It was a personal relationship, a bond that we were building with God. And sometimes we couldn't sleep because we were just anxious to learn more, because we wanted to gain that knowledge of who this God is that we serve. Israel started off that same way when they were delivered from Egypt. They spent approximately 430 years in captivity. And when they were delivered, they left with a joyous celebration. And when we fully realized what these feast days picture today for God's people, do we have that same attitude? Because we have been set free. See, God never let them down. He gave them everything they needed to survive. Brethren, when we find ourselves at the Red Sea, what do we do? Are we going to be like Israel, desiring to go back into bondage? Or are we going to wait patiently to see the salvation of God's deliverance for His people? Us. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 31. Psalms chapter 31. Read verses 1 through 3. Psalms 31, verse 1, it says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be You my strong rock for my house of defense to save me. For You are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Are these the words that we can confidently say today? God, that You are the one that is in control of my life, and I count on You for the direction and strength. It's not my own knowledge I want. I want to seek Your knowledge. For You are my rock. You are my salvation. And on You I wait all the day. Can we say that? See, Israel quickly forgot. They gave up on God at their time of tribulation. And do we do that same thing once in a while? See, God led Israel in the past. God is leading His people, the church, today. Do we have the desire to follow? To have the confidence that God knows that we want Him in our life? Let's turn to Psalms 32, verse 8. Page over. Psalms 32, 8, it says, "I will instruct thee and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with mine eye." See, God teaches by His word. And He guides us through the examples that we experience every day in our life. He continues to open our mind to His instruction through the Holy Spirit. That when we obey and we live according to His way of life, we cannot fail. Second point I'd like to give you is God did not abandon His people Israel. God will not abandon us today. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 30 and 31. Deuteronomy 4, 30 and 31. It says, "When you are in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter day, if you turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which He has sworn unto them." See, what God has done is He has made a promise to His people, present, past, and future. And if they would remain obedient to Him, keeping His laws, living according to His way of life, He will protect them in all times of troubles. This is referring to Israel past, it refers to us today, and even for those who come in the future. It is more than just the peace and safety of God's people, but it's the assurance of salvation if we remain faithful to the end. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll pick up in verse 5. And this is a verse that we've heard probably for about 6 weeks within this period of time. But in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conversation," and it's "let your conduct." It's what we speak, it's what we say, it's how we present ourselves. It's the complete conduct of us. "Let our conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." See, most of the world's conduct is based on love of money or worldly possessions. In the world, it's held captive by what society claims is important. Satan works on getting this world so wrapped up in itself that it alienates God from their life, and it places emphasis on other things. God seeks the disposition of our heart to see if we covet, to desire more than what God has given us. And if we praise God correctly in our life, removing ourselves from the things that influence us in the world, we will find ourselves content in all matters of life. See, the promise is made to those who are patiently bearing affliction or persecution for Christ's sake. We are to trust in God with our whole heart and never, never lean on our own understanding. Continuing in verse 6 of Hebrews 13, it says, "So that we may be boldly," or "we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." See, we're either going to put our trust and confidence in God, or we're going to put it in man. But we cannot serve both. The third point I'd like to give today is God continued to work with Israel, and He works with us today, guiding His church. Let's turn back to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14. We'll read verses 2 and 3. Numbers 14, verse 2 says, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses." A new thing here that's just started happening, right? "All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we have died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were we not better to return into Egypt?" See, Israel did not have total trust and confidence in God. They became known as a stiff-necked people causing issues with others, to where they probably bothered and annoyed each other there. And then they blamed God for it, for all their problems that they were having. See, they wanted deliverance from Egypt because of the pain and the sorrow of being slaves under Pharaoh. Israel cried out. So God removed them from their bondages and once again relocates them. Unfortunately, they were not happy with their new location, and they still thought it was better to go back to Egypt. Can we sometimes have this attitude ourselves? I mean, there's a lot of stress in this world. We're all under stress of some type. It can beat us down to where we want to give up. And sometimes when we give up, we give in to sin. Are we not saying at that time, we desire Egypt, where the sin rules the heart of man instead of God? See, Jesus Christ tells us we can always find peace in Him. And that peace gives us strength to fulfill the Word of God. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and picking up in verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, Jesus Christ will always be with us to guide and direct the church of God. If we are keeping our eye on the big picture, the kingdom of God, we will never be alone, because our shepherd is always with us, just like God was with Israel by the cloud of day and the pillar of fire by night. And just because we take to the calling of God, God does not give us a free pass to escape the turmoils of society. In fact, He actually puts a big bullseye on our back. And He puts that bullseye on our back so that world could come after us. They come after us, and I know sometimes it's hard to understand why or understand the concept to it, but it's for our own good. See, looking at everything that Jesus Christ went through for us, and now He has called us so we can be prepared to be kings and priests, ruling and reigning along with Him. And then we teach others this awesome plan about God. Just a few pages over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and picking up in verse 32 and 33. It says, "Behold, the hour comes, yes, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And I am not alone, because of my Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." But what else did He say? "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." See, Israel could not understand the concept that God would always lead them to safety. And He would lead them to safety if they would just obey. And even as many problems that Israel caused on their own, what happened? They caused these problems. God still worked with them. He cared for them. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, picking up in verse 12, it says, "Moreover, you led them in the day by the cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, and gave them light in a way wherein they should go, and cast down upon Mount Sinai and speak with them from heaven, and gave them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and made known unto them the holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses your servant, and gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in and possess the land which you have sworn to give them. See, God has promised them so much that all they had to do was obey. I mean, after all, how hard is that to do? Well, even when we sin against God, God, through trials, brings us to repentance. So we can be returned to the presence of God. But what did physical Israel do? As we continue reading in verse 16 and 17, they basically said, that sounds like a good idea, right? No, in 16 and 17, but they, our fathers, dealt proudly. They hardened their necks. They hardened not to the commandments. They refused to obey. Neither were mindful of their wonders that they did among them. They hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed captains to return to their bondage. By you are God ready for pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and you forsook them not. See, God could have just spoken the word and wiped them out and started all over. But with his great love and compassion and mercy and patience, God continued to provide for them, just as he does for each one of us today. See, when we have issues with something in our life, what are we willing to do about it? Do we make them bigger than they really are? See, God will never give up on us. We, unfortunately, become weak and tired and give up on God, returning to sin, which is our spiritual Egypt. So we need to continue in our studies to prove all things so we can build up our biblical knowledge and share it with one another in the body. So we can remain strong in faith, pleasing God, because he desires to have us as his children. So we do not want to fail God because of the lack of knowledge we may have, being weak and giving in to sin as Israel done. Our Christian motto should be, failure is not an option. By succeeding in God's truth, allowing God's Holy Spirit to guide us, we become special to God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, it says, You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, we obtained mercy in our life because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He pardoned our sins and washed away our iniquities. And then he leads us to the Father, to where we have the opportunity to inherit eternal life. The fourth point, God provided for Israel and continued to provide for his people today. As Israel began to run out of provisions, they began to once again murmur and complain, wondering what they're going to eat and drink. And in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 3 through 6, I'll read it for you, but you can put this down in your notes. It says, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take these, the elders of Israel, thy rod, and smote the river, take in your hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before them on the rock of Horeb, and shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did in the sight of the elders of Israel. And another one you can jot down in your notes is Exodus chapter 16 and verse 35, where the children of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they came into the land of Canaan. See, God provided him physical food for Israel. But it wasn't just food. He gave them shelter. He healed them. He gave them everything they needed to sustain their life. And he took care of them since the time that they exodus from Egypt. See, God never let them down. He took care of them the same way he takes care of all of us today, providing the same physical needs along with something different, though. He gives us his Holy Spirit, something that Israel never had. Are we asking God to pour out that Holy Spirit on us so we can be molded into his nature, not of our own, like the careless attitudes Israel had that they carried with them? See, our nature without God's Holy Spirit is very ugly. It's selfish. It's greedy. We're complainers. We're stubborn. But God continues to care for us. He continued to give to them. He gives to us. The lessons that we're to learn here is that the more that God blesses us, the more we should bless one another. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, and picking up in verse 11 through 13. In verse 11:11, it says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, would you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish for a fish, you give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, would you offer him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask?" See, these verses refer to the father and son relationship, the father desiring to give good gifts to his son, our Father, God, his son, us, Jesus Christ, the potential family. We have the potential to be God's family, his children. The world has the potential to be one day our spiritual brother. Why then would we not want to see others blessed the same way that God has blessed us? See, as God willingly provides for his people, there is no limit what God can do. He owns everything. He created it. And he can make as much of it as he desires to make. All we have to do is ask for it in a humble manner, seeking out God's will. I have three more points for you. Point number 5. It said God tested Israel to see if they would depend on him, the same way he tests us today of our willingness to trust and serve him. See, during the time Israel once again left Egypt and wandered in the wilderness, God gave them many instructions on how they are to live their life and follow. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "All the commandments which I command you this day you shall observe and do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sworn to your fathers. And they shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep the commandments or not. And he humbled you, he suffered you to hunger, he fed you with manna, which you know not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that God, know that man doth not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth the man live." See, God's laws are still valid today. They were not removed at the death of Jesus Christ, as so many people profess. God has promised his people today they will inherit a promised land. We too inherit that promised land. It's called the kingdom of God. See, as our journey is about parallel or the same way as Israel, God removed them from the bondage of sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, begins teaching us His way, and then His laws, so we know how to live a better way of life, because that life is acceptable with God. And through all the trials and tests we experience, what's going to be our reaction when it comes knocking on our door? Are we going to have the mindset of Moses, who led Israel, always counting on God to have the answers and the way out, to have that deliverance that God's going to give? Or are we going to have the attitude as the children of Israel, always complaining and living in fear? Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1, and picking up in verse 12. James 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." See, if we are truly loving God and understanding His desire for us, there is nothing that we cannot overcome in our life. Point number 6. Don't live by bread alone. See, Israel could only physically see through their own selfish lusts and desires. They wanted everything on their own terms. As they seeked out their wants and desires, they were in constant worry when something was not available for them when they believed they should have it at that point. We need to always stay focused once again on the big picture, the spiritual matters that God wants us to have dwelling in our life, so we know where our heart will be, or God will know where our heart will be. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. It says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Or what shall I be clothed with? For after these things are what the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have needs for these things." But what He's telling us to do: seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Jesus Christ is our bread of life, and in Him do we inherit eternal life. Because he who truly believes on Christ shall have everlasting life. It's made possible because we are no longer living our life. We have put it away. And it's Jesus Christ living in and through us. As Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." See, we need to always seek spiritual bread, the bread of Jesus Christ, God's Holy Spirit, to study it in our daily life so we may be filled with spiritual substance and not carnal knowledge. And the last point I have for you, to wrap it up, is we win the grand prize, something that Israel never cared about. See, as we focus continually on God and do His will, we are going to be happy and have a sense of fulfillment in our life. God will be smiling on His people and blessing their efforts because we have chosen to serve God and to be His people, because we're living according to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. His instruction manual, we call the Bible. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. In closing, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "Because you have kept my word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the habitable world to try those who dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no man take your crown." He that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the new name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Brethren, during this time we've been celebrating these days of unleavened bread, let us thank God for what he has done for us. God has removed our sin. He has separated us or delivered us from bondage. And he has made us special. He set us apart. So we can know him. We can understand him. We can worship him. And we can know how great is the God we worship. Because he loved us first, and he has set us free. For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.